It's time to begin our worship service this morning. We're going to be singing out of favorite gospel songs today. If you will, turn to number 114. Welcome to our services today. If you're here for the first time, we appreciate you being with us. Begin worship from the very first note on the very first song. Don't wait till the preaching gets started. If you've ever had your cup to be filled over a gospel song, raise your hand. Have you? Oh, yeah, so many of us have. And there's no greater feeling than to have that cup to run over. So let's worship the Lord this morning. It Takes the Blood. Number 114. Come on. Number 162.
Thank you, Brother Keith. Good songs. But that last one is the one I like. I like that song, have ever since the first time I heard it, and several years ago. But I think about that one little lost lamb, and I think of it as being me. And I remember when the Lord started calling me. And I think that's what that song has reference to. As the good shepherd, he goes out and seeks the 99, as the song says, as the scripture says. And I believe that the Lord calls, and he does. He works on us by the working of the Holy Spirit. We may not hear a literal voice, but we have the Spirit that draws us to him, and he calls on us, and it's up to us to answer. He knows exactly who we are, and I believe he knows exactly where we're at, but he wants us to answer. He wants us to call out, "Here I am, Lord. Please come get me. Here I am, Lord. I need your help. Please, Lord, I'm in a place I can't get out of on my own." And I'm thankful this morning he heard me this morning is what I'm thankful for. Thankful for the good Sunday school lesson this morning. I want to encourage everybody that doesn't come out to Sunday school to come out and be a part of our Sunday school. We have classes for all ages. So bring your kids, bring your grandkids. If your grandkids do not get to go to church somewhere, bring them. Bring them to Sunday school so that they'll learn about that great shepherd, Jesus Christ, and that he can draw them to him also, where that they can believe is what it's all about today. We're glad to see each and every one with us today. Got a lot of visitors with us again. We're thankful for our visitors coming to be with us again. We thank you for being here. Some are here for the very first time, and I hope you'll make yourself right at home with us. And I hope the Lord blesses you in a great way today in this service. I hope he gives you a great blessing inside of you today, so much so that the Lord just fills your cup up, as the old saying was. He just fills your cup up so much that you're just so blessed in this service, you'll think, well, it was good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. So that's what I'm praying for, first of all. Let's move right along with our service. We always do our children's church for our young ones. Brother Sam takes care of that, and he's going over here today. So all of our kids, we invite you to get over here with Brother Sam, if you would. Come on, guys.
Testing 1, 2. We are now live with the satellite uplink, broadcasting to all the earth. That's a joke, Ben. We're now really not going all the earth. All right, we have some that are sleepy, some that are shy, but a lot that are interested. How are you doing? Good? Did you find the golden egg during the Easter egg hunt? Yes, no, maybe? I bet you had fun, didn't you? Yeah. All right, what a good-looking bunch. I know you're busy. I've checked your schedule. Real quick, who likes trivia? Anybody know what trivia is? Yeah, what is trivia? That's right, just random things, okay? Just random things. I thought a lot the last week or so about one person. His name is God, all right? Who loves God? Who loves God? Hey, it's unanimous. I like that. Okay, thank you. That's really good. Who can tell me one thing about God? One thing, just one thing. Yes? He died on the cross. He sure did. He loves us that much. Yes. Created the earth. I like that. He did. Yes. He heals people when they're sick. Boy, that's a good one. I like that. Random stuff, but just all really good. Okay. Who can tell me how old God is? 157. Close enough. Close enough from my perspective. He is everlasting to everlasting. You know what the Bible says? He always has been, and he always what? Will be. That's right. That's a good answer. He's really old, okay? All right, here's a good one, and I think I know at least one person in here knows the answer to this because I've talked with this person about it. Where does the Bible say that God is from? Where's he from?
Heaven.
That's a good one. But oddly enough, the book of Habakkuk, you ever heard of him, Habakkuk? You know, from the Habakkuk brothers? You have? Okay, how old is he? I don't know. The third chapter says that God came from Teman, T-E-M-O-N. That's what it says. And that's interpreted from the south. So he's southern like me and you. And I say that facetiously, not really. I don't know where the south is from a biblical speaking, but I'll take the Bible's word for it. Okay? All right. What is he? What is God? The Bible says that God is something. What is he? He's a spirit. He's a spirit. That's what the Lord told the lady at the well. Okay, so remember that. That'll be on the test. All right? What does he look like? Huh? I heard an answer from the back. He looks like Dad? Okay, I'll take that. Oh, well, we don't know. The Bible says that nobody has seen him, all right? Nobody has seen God at any time. But we know he exists. Yeah. Well, they up there, people in heaven, they talk to him every day. But you have to go to heaven to do that. And that's what we're looking forward to. But the Bible says, real quick, that he made us in his image. So he looks kind of like people. All right. And where does he live? You already said that. Somebody said he's in heaven, right? But is God present here in the earth? He sure is. He's in the spirit, okay? And that's kind of the last part of this, that God is part of three things. Have anybody heard of the Trinity? You ever heard of the Trinity? So there's God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Some people might say, how does he do that? Three things in one? How do you do that? He does it. Look at it like this. Does anybody like to drink water? Right. So when you drink water, it's what? It's a liquid. And if you boil water, what does it become? Steam. It's a vapor. And if you freeze water, what does it become? Ice. So you got water. It's three things. So why can't God be the same way, right? That's what it is. All right. All right, stand up. I've kept you long enough with trivia. I hope you have a good rest of the week. And go plow tobacco now. Go do something. Okay. I appreciate you. Thank you.
Thank you, Brother Sam. Thank you, kids. Thank you for your good answers. We always appreciate those that takes part with our young people, and Brother Sam does a good job with that. We are glad to see each and every one out today, and I hope and pray that you will be blessed today in this service. We are glad that you've come, and we're glad to have our visitors. We want to go to the Lord in prayer today. Does anybody have a prayer request on your heart this morning? Okay. Amen. Amen. Yeah. Yes, ma'am. Bless you, sister. Bless you, Sister Barbara. She said she almost met her maker the other night. She had a spell with her heart, and glad she's able to be back with us today. And there's different ones in here that's done something similar to that at one time or another, and you know where she's at. And she's asking your prayers this morning. Any other prayer requests this morning? We're glad to have Brother Lanny back. He's outside right now. Brother Lanny's out there, and he had his surgery a couple weeks ago, and he's had a pretty tough go, but we're thankful he's able to be back with us today. We've had others that are sick in the church. My understanding that Sister Penny Brockett's aunt is in bad shape. We need to remember her.
I'm probably going to end up forgetting somebody that's been mentioned to me, and I apologize for that, but we are glad to see each one here. Is there any other prayer request that I'm forgetting? Remember the ones from our Sunday school this morning. I pray that we can all see these things answered, but we always ask for the prayers to be answered in God's will, don't we? So this morning we are glad that each and every one is here. We want to go to the Lord in prayer, and we'll call on one to start our prayer, but we want everybody to pray in your own way. Brother Randall, if you would you start our prayer? Everybody pray.
Turn to number 118. Number 118. It's been worth it all. Number 118. Number 92, I'm going that way. Number 92.
Oh,
I had another song picked out, but I believe it's time to preach.
Bless you.
That's all this morning.
Does anybody have word testimony or anything on your heart? Everybody know where you're going when you die?
Amen.
I'm going that way. I'm going to heaven one of these days. If it's today, that's all right. I'd hate to leave my family and everybody behind, but I'm going to a better place.
Amen.
Is the way I'll say it. And I hope you're the same way, is what I would have to say today. I hope you know where you're going when you die. Anybody got anything on your heart this morning? I've got one verse to give you as a start-off verse, and it's familiar. Go to the third chapter of John. Third chapter of John. I'm going to give you a minute or so to get there in your Bibles. And I encourage you to bring your Bibles if you don't, and for you to just read along, make sure I don't mess up. As you know, I mess up pretty regular in my reading. We're just humans, and so I want you to just read along with us is what I want you to do. Third chapter of John, I've got a short verse. And it says, "Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again." Now, this message today is really not going to be about being born again. That would be the first thought that I'm sure everyone had today. But a lot of people ask us from time to time, how do you know that you're saved? I've had children to ask that question in times past, and I've heard different answers from different people, but truthfully, the best answer that I've heard given was given by a lot of different parents. I've heard it said by different parents. When a child asked them, "How will you know that you're saved? How will you know that you've been born into the family of God?" And that's what that word born again means, born from above, being born of God. How do you know? And that's basically what this message is going to be about today, is how you know that you've been born again. How do you know where you're going when you die? Now, I'm going to relate, I hadn't thought about doing this, but I'm going to relate just a quick story here. Quick story is, I had a good friend of mine was in a very bad car wreck. He was very unlucky. And when I say very unlucky, and I don't really believe in luck, truthfully, but we would consider it very unlucky. He was on his way home from work one night, him and his friends, and a drunk driver crossed the center line and hit him head on. And killed the man in the front seat next to my friend. The other two men were injured very badly, but they got them out of the car quickly. And while they was beginning to get my friend out of the car, the unlucky part was there was another drunk driver. And he came along and of course, never saw him or anything. And my friend was sitting behind the steering wheel, trapped in the car, and he was in a place right there that they couldn't get him out. And at the last minute, everybody just left him. He said, "I took hold of the steering wheel, I took hold of the back of the seat, what would you do in that place?" He run it back to a place where that he knew that he was born again. Now, I've heard countless people talk about going into surgery and being put out, in anesthesia. And they'd say, "Well, I run it back just right beforehand, make sure." Well, the first time they did me that way back several years ago, I thought, "Well, I guess I need to run it back, make sure." And I went back to it, but it was like the Lord said, "Why are you bothering? You know better. You know where you're going. You see, there's something to knowing about being born again. That was what that Jesus was teaching Nicodemus in these verses here. He was telling him about knowing that you're saved. And that's what this lesson is going to be about tonight, today, in this at this time. And as we look at the idea, the word marvel there is, it means don't wonder. You're wondering about it. Yes, everybody does. When before that you get saved, you wonder about what it really is. How do you know? What makes you know that you're saved? Well, the first place I'm going is to 2 Corinthians in the 5th verse. I'm going to try my best to give you several different verses here today to show you where it comes from in the Bible that we can know that we are saved. I've got a personal experience with the Lord myself. I do. I've got a personal experience that when I was seeking the Lord, when I was 14 years old was what I was. But at 14 years of age, I started calling upon the Lord, and He graciously saved my soul. He made a new feeling come into me. And what I'm going to try to do is not only tell you my experience, but I want to show you in the scriptures where that it shows these things to you today. In the 17th verse of the 5th chapter of 2 Corinthians, what he says there is, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Now, that new creature is something that is very special. I'm going to talk about the fact that it's a new creature on the inside is basically where it really is the difference more than anything. It is important for us to remember that the Bible talks about an inward man and an outward man. The outward man is this physical part here that if you walk up to me and hit me on the head, it hurts, but you can feel something special about this body. You feel it is what you do. But the fact of the matter is there is a second part to me. It is an inward body that is on the inside. And that is the part that God saves today. That inward part is an inward man, a spiritual man. And that is the part that God changes when that He saves that soul, when He makes it that person one of His own children. Jesus, and you hear me quote this verse a lot, but it's got great reference. When He was talking to the woman at the well, He told her that God seeks people that will worship Him in spirit and in truth. The spirit being the inward man that is on the inside. Yes, He likes for our physical bodies to actually worship Him, but the full worship comes from the inward man himself. But as we look at this verse, He said, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Now, when I look at that verse there today, I want you to see just a couple of different references there. He talks about it first, that new creature, as it was said, but also He makes the statement about how the old things are passed away. There is something about that inward man being saved that works upon the physical man, and I'll get into that just a little bit more later if the Lord be willing. But the idea is He works on this inward man that it wants to do different. It wants to worship God. It wants to serve Him in a greater way. But notice what He says. Behold, all things become new. That is probably one of the greatest references that I use a lot when that I talk about when the Lord saved my soul. He made me new within. I wasn't the same man that I was before, boy, if you want to call it that. But the fact of the matter was, God changed me on the inside. How did he change me? He made me something new. He made me to be like him is what he did. He put a cleansing spirit in there. Now go with us, if you would, to Ephesians, the second chapter. And I've got about five verses here. And then if you want to read ahead, that's okay. But what he says in the second chapter, starting with verse 1, "And you hath he quickened," and that word quickened there means made alive. Quickened means made alive. You know, the Bible talks about us being dead in our trespasses and in our sins. That meaning we were separated from God. We were as a dead man unto him. We were something that was vile unto him. But when he saves us, he quickens us. He makes us alive. He makes us to be a new creature is what he said. All things being new on that inward man. He said, "And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin, wherein in times past ye walked according to the course of this world." Every one of us today, we walk in this world, don't we? We have an idea of what we are going to do after a while, probably. We've got either intentions to go see family. We've got intentions to do this thing or that thing. But the idea more than anything is we're just taking our course throughout this world. He said, according, now I want you to get this part, according to the prince of the power of the air. If you do not know who he is, that prince of the power of the air is Satan himself. He is that prince of the power of the air. And what he does when that individual, before that that person ever gets saved, they are following Satan. They say, no, wait a minute here now. I would never follow the devil. But if you're in your sins, yes, you are still following the devil. He is still leading you in the courses of this world. You remember that thought that came to you, why should I go to church today? You remember that thought, oh, those people are there just a little bit nuts to believe in Jesus himself. Do you remember those kinds of thoughts? Do you know where they come from? From the prince of the power of the air, Satan himself. Now he goes on and he continues. "The spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience." Now you might say, well, I don't know that I'm really disobedient. How many of you, when you were a child, you looked at the way you were doing in your family and you thought, I was a pretty good kid, right? We all did. I didn't do anything wrong. No, I didn't disobey my parents. Did you? Well, the idea is when we are in this area here, there is an heavenly Father, and he has instructed all of his creation, all of mankind, to believe in his only begotten Son. And if you have never truly believed on him with your entire heart, and I want to put that in emphasis there. There is such a thing as just saying, well, I believe Jesus is the Son of God. But let me ask you something. One of these children here that are very small, if they've been brought up in church, if you ask them, do they believe in Jesus Christ and believe he's Son of God, will they not say yes? Is there not something a little bit greater than just saying, yes, Jesus is the Son of God? Actually, there is. because we are walking in disobedience. One of the things that we did as children was when we disobeyed our parents, usually the next thing that came out of us was a way of covering it up, a way of denial, a way of blaming somebody else, a way of doing something else that we looked innocent. And we, as our souls are concerned, before that we are born again, we do the very same thing. Yes, we do. We do the very same thing. He said, third verse, among whom also we all had our conversations in time past in the lust of our flesh. That is a common thing among human beings, isn't it? About the lust of our flesh. You see, Satan works in us to get us to the place where we try to think within ourselves, well, I'd rather do this. I'd rather go to the lake. I'd rather not go and pray to God. I'd rather not do anything but put my trust in God, is what he's saying. He said, these are the conversations that we have. If we can, we'll find somebody else that will agree with us. I'm talking about another person. We'll find somebody else that will agree with us, and we'll start a conversation about that. Yeah, those people are nuts. Those people are crazy. Yeah, you don't need to go to church. It's not necessary. But these are the lusts that we are conversing about. You see, Satan, in that power of the air, is working inside of you to keep you from trusting in God. He does not want you to be born again. His aim is to drag you down to the devil's hell that he is doomed for, and he wants to carry everybody that he possibly can with him. That's what he's doing. And he'll lie, he'll cheat, he'll steal, he'll do anything he possibly can to keep your attention away from God, is what he'll do. He said, let me get back up here where I was at. He said, among whom also we all had our conversations in time past in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. I'm not going to go back over that. I just talked about it. Verse 4, But God, this is the good part. Brother Sam asked the children about God. He asked them some questions. See, you see, the idea is, but God is the answer. When that you're in these troubles and sorrows, and we're going to get back into that in just a little bit, when you're in that troubles and sorrows, then it is God that can relieve you of those things. I want you to get that. Are you in trouble and in sorrow? I meant to wait on this just a little bit. I thought that I would, but I'll come back to Ephesians here in a minute just to finish up the last verse. I'm talking about troubles and sorrows. You see, God is drawing you to him. When that I was a sinner, when that I had not been born again, you see, God was knocking upon my heart. You see, God was drawing me to him. Now, I want you to understand something. Every man, woman, and child that has ever been born of the Spirit of God has been drawn of God first of all. No man. The scriptures will tell you this, and I believe it's in the book of Jeremiah. I have to look it up for you if you want the verse. But no man can come to God by himself. No man can. Jesus said, no man cometh unto me except the Father which sent me draw him. We can't stir it up ourselves. A lot of people would like to do that today. They'd like to say, well,
well, this church over here, all they're having a good time and they're doing this and that. I can just go in there and I'll be a part of that community and I'll just enjoy what's going on and it'll be okay. But God, go back to this, but God. You see, God is drawing you to Him. And you might say, well, I don't understand what you're talking about. Are you talking about Him just coming and saying, come unto me? Yes, He does. Are you talking about how that He wants you to just commit yourself to God? Yes, there's a certain part about that. But the way God generally draws individuals, you see, we are sinners in His sight. I was a sinner. My soul was dirty. My soul was dead, as I talked about earlier. My soul was in deep danger of dying and going into a devil's hell. My soul was in that way. And I started to get to that understanding in such a way that it got into my heart in this way. I was, as the psalmist David said in the 51st chapter of Psalms, he said about the sacrifices of God is a broken spirit, meaning one that is broken in such a way that they need God. They need to be fixed. But listen to what he said. This is the sacrifice of God, is a broken spirit. And then he says, a broken and contrite heart. He uses that word broken twice. Every individual that's ever been born again has gotten to a place where they realized they couldn't do it themselves. How many of you broke a bone? Several of you have, huh? I hadn't broke one up until about 10 years ago, I guess it was. But I looked at that thing and I thought, well, it's not too bad. It's a finger. But after I found out it was actually broke, I knew I couldn't fix it. If you've broken the leg or arm or something like that, and I don't want to get anybody's attention too much, but it's been one of them where it was very easy to see it was broken. How many of you thought I could fix that? No. You can't fix that stuff. You've got to have help. You've got to have a doctor in those cases. But when it comes to the soul of your soul, Jesus said, I am the great physician. And what he says, they that are whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. And if you're sin sick, you need the great physician. You don't need a physical doctor. You don't need a preacher. You don't need a priest. You don't need a good member of the church. You need God. What he said here, though, all of these things are drawing you to him so that he can help you to become alive. Now, what he said, and I wanted to get this, a broken and contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. Now, what that word contrite, that's a word we don't use a lot, it means crushed. Okay, what's crushed mean? Mashed? I mash bugs. I will. If they're bothering me, I'll mash them. If there's, we'll say a walnut that I want to get into, I'm going to crush it. But what the spiritual meaning of it is overwhelmed. This is according to Webster. Being crushed is overwhelmed. It is emotional pain. It is to oppress or burden. And that is what God is doing inside of us. And you might say, well, just what does this have to do with knowing that you're saved? When God
causes you to be born again, when he saves your soul, that disappears. Now, what does that bring about? Let's go back to Ephesians. I think it's where I need to go. Once again, in the Ephesian letter, if I can get my Bible to turn, back to Ephesians, he said, "For God in his rich mercy, for his great love, wherein he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, and he hath quickened us together with Christ, for by grace are ye saved." That's not the verse that I had in mind for you at that time. But the verse that I did have in mind is this. Not the right place still. It is peace with God. Now, how do you get that peace? How do you get to the place where that you're born again? Being born again comes, I believe, in a request. And you might differ with me about that. A lot of people say, well, you don't have to request to be saved. You don't have to pray to be saved. I'm going to tell you, I did. I was seeking after him. Now, what the scripture says in the 10th chapter of Romans is this. He said, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Now, I want to skip down just a few verses to get this for you. He said, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You see, the reason why I read that 10th verse first is this. With the heart man believeth unto salvation. You've got to believe that Jesus is your Savior, that God is going to save you. You've got to believe he's the one that's causing the trouble and the sorrow in there. And you've got to believe that he's the only one that can fix it. David said, my heart is fixed, O God. My heart is fixed. You see, when individuals fully trust in the Lord, they receive a peace that is beyond all understanding. That was the verse I was going to quote to you a while ago. It is. It is a peace that is beyond all understanding. Now, let me give you my example. I can only tell. I've heard a lot of you tell about when you got saved. And I've heard your testimonies, and they're good to hear. But I'm the only one that really knows about mine. You're the only one that really knows about yours. The moment that the Lord saved my soul, I had cried out to him, and all of a sudden, it just went away. I was afraid, I was scared, I was troubled, I was sorrowful for my sin, and it all went away. What was left? The Bible says peace. I described it as feeling fresh, was the way I described it. I just felt fresh inside. When something is fresh, what is it? It's new. It's new. That freshness gave me something that I knew something had changed inside of me. I was a new creature on the inside, is what I was. And because of that, that spirit being inside of me, it was so refreshing that when later on in that day, because the devil, he'll come in, and what he's going to do, he's going to come to you and he's going to say, now wait a minute, that's not what you thought you was going to get. That's what he did to me. You thought daddy would come and talk to you. You thought this thing would happen. I've heard people say, oh, I thought I'd jump up and just shout and holler and scream. Oh, I thought I'd do this or that. No. Me, I sat there and the devil was saying, that's not it. That's not it. And I sat there for a little bit until my cousin got saved and he told it. Others around rejoicing, and some thought that I had said something. I hadn't said a word. Till the old pastor looked down at me and he said, Ricky, has something happened? And before the devil had a chance, I said, yeah, I think so. And this was my evidence. At that moment in time, when that came out, it was just like a spring bubbling up inside of me. And that became such a joy. That 10th verse says, with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, but with the mouth confession is made. Now, I want you to understand something today. If you're visiting with us today and you haven't heard something like this before, there's no man that can tell you when you're saved. Amen. You might disagree with me. God does the saving, and you're the one he saves. There's no man knows what goes on in your heart. God told Samuel, he said, Samuel, I look on the heart. I can't look into your heart. The only way that we can know that you've been saved is if you tell us. You know what? I like it that way. Because if I had come to you or somebody had come to me and said, oh, Ricky, you've prayed long enough. Oh, Ricky, you've done this long enough. It's okay. You'll be okay like this. A lot of people do those things. But me, when he just asked me the question, is something happened? And I said, yeah, I think so. And then that spirit bubbled up inside of me in such a way. And what did I tell you was? It was a peace beyond comprehension. You see, beforehand, you know, what you've had is a lot of trouble. You've doubted. You've wondered about it. Well, would I be okay? Would I get to go to heaven or not? Brother Stewart talks about in before that he got saved, how that he thought, well, maybe I would do enough good works that it'd be okay. Others have an idea just because that they were baptized at a certain time. Maybe they joined a certain church. Maybe they committed their lives to the Lord. Maybe they did these things. But there's an inward change. There's an inward change that God does. How did I know? God changed me. He made me a new creature. He made me alive. He gave me a peace. And on top of that peace, I like the words of Peter. And I believe it's 2 Peter in the 2nd chapter, maybe 1st chapter, where he talks about it as being a joy unspeakable. Really, that's what got me that night more than anything. All of a sudden, I was just so happy. I was just so glad inside because I knew God had changed me. Well, I've gone long enough. I thought I'd try to hit a couple other things, but Brother Key, that's going to be our message today. I want us to think about these things a lot more because
We have friends. Oh, yeah, I go to church. I'll be okay. We have relatives that probably may not really know about whether or not they're really saved or not. Do you know that you're saved? Amen. Me, show hand. Do you know? Amen. I like it when you stick them way up. That's what counts, that you know that God has saved your soul. You see, that's what the Bible calls assurance. Assurance that you know that you're saved. While we sing today, if there's somebody here that needs to be saved, I can't save you, but you can pray and seek God. That's what these benches are for down here on the front. They're a good place to pray. But I'll say this. I've been to churches where they wasn't a bench up here. They was just steps. That's a good place to pray. I had a man tell me one time, I said something about a mourner's bench, and he said, you know, we have mourner's benches. I said, yeah, that one there, that one there, that one there, that one there, and that one over there. I understood. And every seat in the house is a place where you can be saved if you'll just trust in the Lord. While we stand and sing.
77. Number 277.